Hello and welcome back to the Daily Study of the Way of Mastery. I'm Jason Amoroso, your guide and friend, and today we continue with Lesson 13, You Are Unlimited Spirit. You are unlimited spirit. You're not a body, you're not your personality, you're not your brain, you're not your past, you're not all the ways that you identify and label yourself. You are unlimited spirit. And we continue with section 4. Only you have the power to create your experience. Not your partner, not your kids, not the economy, not the government, not your boss, not your parents, not your genetics, not what's happened to you, not what you've done, not what you haven't done. Only you have the power to create your experience. It's a creation. Every experience you have is a creation. You create it through the choices that you make, through the perspective that you choose. A very simple way, glass half empty, glass half full. The water is just at a level, it's just neutral, but you get to choose which story you're going to tell. You are a meaning-making machine. So if you don't like a part of your experience, just see if you can, with some neutrality, look at the story you're telling about it. That's the hard thing. We're so close to it that we just think what we think is true. We don't ever look even at our thoughts. We don't ever kind of just objectively see, oh, well, where'd that thought even come from? Well, I heard that on the radio, or I saw that post, and that person seems so convicted, so they must be right. Or that's what my parents believe. Of course this is true. That's what my whole culture believes. Of course it's true. And this other group is wrong. Just look at your own processes and it will reveal to you what choice you're making. So let's dive in. Paragraph 4. It is a short section. And Jeshua says, even though the body mind, and body mind is hyphenated, even though the body mind that you once identified as yourself still seems to be moving about in space and time, you will not even look at that body mind and say, quote, mine. You will simply say, quote, the body mind is a temporary communication device brought forth from the ocean of my unlimited capital S self, as I have done a multitude of times in a multitude of universes. What's the big deal? End quote. Love this paragraph. So again, this podcast, if you're just joining us or you've joined us recently, is a study guide for the way of mastery. So if you are not reading along, you don't have to have read it, but if you're not following along, I find that reading and then listening to this is the way to go. You might be a little confused about some of these things. But when Jeshua talks about the body mind, he's talking about this sense of separate self, the ego, the body, and also the mind, like your personal identification, like, oh, this is me. I have my thoughts. I have, you know, all those things that identify yourself as you. That's the body. That's the mind part of the body mind. So even though the body mind that you once identified as yourself, and that's what we think we are. We think we're the body mind. Still seems to be moving about in space and time. I'm still here having this human experience. You will not even look at the body mind and say, mine. This isn't my body mind. I don't own it. I don't possess it. It's not mine. It's just a temporary experience that I'm using, that I've created for myself to learn. It's a temporary learning device. It's not who I am. It's not what I am. And Jeshua has given us exercises. I don't know if that's the right word, but he's invited us to stop using the phrasing my body, my arms, my legs, my brain, my eyes. Like, stop saying my and identifying with the physical form. Start saying the body. I've been using this ever since I read that. I've been using that all the time. I say it in our meditations, breathing in and out through the nostrils, not your nostrils. And it's a very subtle yet powerful way to disidentify from thinking you are the body. So if something happens to the body, it happens to you. Of course you want to protect that. Of course you don't want that to happen. Now, I'm not saying think of your body as trash or not care for it, right? The body is the temple of the living God. It's the form that you're holding right now, but it's not what you are. It's not who you are. And if something happens to the body, it's not happening to you. So as one starts to wake up to what Jeshua is talking about, you'll get to a level of consciousness where you realize these things, where you start to embody them, meaning in your awareness, not necessarily literally in the physical form. But it's like you can know something intellectually and not embody it. You can learn about courage but not be courageous. So when I say embody, it's about who you're being at a level of consciousness, at a level of energetic alignment, not just intellectual understanding. So even though the body mind that you once identified as yourself, oh, this is me, it still seems to be moving in space and time. It's still in the world. That you'll stop looking at the body mind and say, mine. You will simply say, the body mind is a temporary communication device. You'll simply say it. There's a lightness around this, not such a heaviness. Not such a serious solidity to this. No, the body mind, it's temporary. It's a temporary communication device brought forth from the ocean of my unlimited capital S self, who I really am. My consciousness is a creation of my consciousness. And I've done this a multitude of times. I don't know, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. It doesn't even matter what the number is. But I've done this many, many times before. What's the big deal? This is what consciousness does. This is what I am, a creator. So again, we're taking the specialness out of this one life. So much of this is about addressing the fear of death, which Jeshua says the ultimate fear to overcome, the fear of death. And the physical death, or the death of existing. I'm going to cease to exist. This whole way is about waking us up to and having us remember that we are pure, unlimited, eternal spirit. And as you begin to not just understand that intellectually, which is usually kind of the first phase, as you start to experience that for yourself as a very real experience that you're creating for yourself, you start to, in a way, believe that more and more. You start to have experiences that are like, oh, I'm more than my body. I'm more than this limited physical body and mental body that I've so believed was all that I am. Limited to logic, limited to what the world tells me I am, limited to kind of what everybody else, the consensus paradigm of life. So much more. And what Jeshua is saying in this lesson, you can experience that now as you're kind of seeming to be in a body going about your business. And you'll look and talk like everybody else, but you'll know the truth and you'll radiate that truth. And sometimes, I know for me, I've had, I wouldn't call them like memories, but they're like flashes. They're like insights. They're just a quick knowings of other lifetimes that I've had. Some people have done past life regressions. It's like not that special. Everybody, you know, a lot of people, when they kind of get into past lives, they always want to be the king or the pharaoh or somebody famous or something important, right? That specialness of us that wants to think we're significant and somehow different or better or not less than. When it's like, oh, I had a lifetime as a geisha, and obviously as a woman. I had a lifetime as a different race, several races, at different time periods. And these are just glimpses, flashes, just knowings that I've had. But of course, why not? Unlimited spirit can create anything, and time is not linear. So it's just like, it's like unplugging from the matrix of what we thought things were and opening up to new ideas, new possibilities. Jeshua continues, your consciousness will literally shift. It will take a new perspective, and you will know that you are pure spirit, that you do not abide in time at all, that you can simply delight in utilizing the body-mind as a communication device. So the gesture is kind of giving us a glimpse of what the experience is as we start to wake up. Consciousness is awareness. Your awareness will shift, right? Just think about who you were, let's just say pre-pandemic. Your consciousness, your awareness of yourself, of life, was probably much different than it is right now, especially if you're studying the Way of Mastery, and especially if you're studying the Way of Mastery post-pandemic. Right, that's a shift in awareness. You're aware of I would say more of the totality of who you are, of what life is, of what you are. So your consciousness will literally shift, and it will take a new perspective. It will see things from a new way. It's like once you see these things that Jeshua is talking about, you can't unsee them. For me, it's like a no turning back moment. And again, there's levels. Like once you intellectually kind of understand it, that's one level. Once you experience it, you can't unexperience something. So it can change everything. And then it can grow within us because we want it to grow. We want more of that experience in reality versus the one that we've been living in. And you'll know that you're pure spirit. You're not limited and you do not abide in time at all. And I love this, that you can simply delight. Like, I love when he uses it's simple. You can simply delight. Instead of worrying, instead of gnashing your teeth and grinding away at life and taking things so seriously and trying to figure it out, you know, cerebrally, you can simply delight in utilizing and using this experience you're having as a communication device, the body-mind. As a communication device. Now, again, going back to the early lessons of this book, you're constantly communicating something. What do you want to communicate with every action, with every thought, with every word? I think we all want the same thing, which is love. We want to communicate love. We want to be love. We want to express love. We want to join in love. We want to create out of love. So the body is just a temporary communication device for love. That's the simple translation. And the final paragraph here, Jeshua says, when you get on your airplane and you travel to some distant shore to a place that you are enjoying being in, you are still using the body-mind as a communication device between you and the earth, between you and other creations that have come forth from other minds. Whether it is a beautiful building or a beautiful painting, all that you are ever experiencing is something that you have drawn to yourself through the medium of the body. It is an experience, and that is all. You are the unlimited one who is in the driver's seat. Let's just acknowledge a part of our brain, a part of our thinking, argues with this, rejects this idea, fights this idea that we are unlimited. It certainly doesn't seem like we're unlimited when we're out in the world. If I was unlimited, I'd have all the money, I'd have the body I want, the health I want, the, you know, the love making that I want, the partner that I want, the house that I want, the lifespan that I want. I'd get to play God for my own life. If I was unlimited, and that's the ego mind saying those things. And it inherently comes from a place of separation, fear, lack, loss, all those things. I was just about to say the cosmic self, the true self, the higher self of you, the real self of you already knows that it's unlimited. So it doesn't need to try and get those things to feel a different way. So it doesn't even engage in a debate or an argument about it. It's not trying to convince the ego. The ego literally cannot comprehend the true self. The true self must be experienced and then lived from. You can intellectually get it for sure, But intellectually getting the true self and living and experiencing it and embodying and being it are two totally different things. I mean, the obvious one is just look at all the spiritual teachers or religious teachers or priests or, you know, whatever, all these people that spout certain things, they're saying all the right things. And they understand and maybe even they believe it intellectually, but they're not living it. And how do we know they're not living it? Because of the actions that they're doing, the behaviors that they're doing that are so out of alignment with what they say they believe. If you're embodying love, if you're embodying love, not just talking about loving someone else, but if you are embodying love, your actions are going to reflect that and be aligned with that. So it's not about what you believe necessarily. It's what you become. It's what you, who you're being beyond the intellect. So just as you're saying, when you get on your airplane, when you go anywhere, right, the body is still a communication device. That's what it is. You seem to be traveling in space and time. You've chosen to travel in space and time to these different places, which are all really the same. It's all, again, it's all waves in the ocean of love. So it's all the essence of the ocean, whatever the form is, whatever it looks like on the surface, doesn't matter. The essence of it, the substance of it is made of the quantum field, of the love, of the life force that anything in creation is made of. So regardless of where you seem to be and what time you seem to be, it's all the same stuff, right? Think about it. If, like, you're kind of experiencing, one part of you is like experiencing life like through your eyes, right? If you've seen the movie Being John Malkovich, it's such a great movie. I highly recommend. It's a little quirky, but it's great. And John Cusack and Cameron Diaz find this little portal in this weird office building that when they go into this closet, it like shoots them down a chute into John Malkovich, the actor's head. And they kind of see through his eyes in that like first person view. And that's kind of like us. Like we open our eyes and all of a sudden like we're living life in first person. We see things through first person. And no matter where we are, if the environments change, we're at an office building, we're at a beach, we're in our bedroom, we're in the bathroom, we're, you know, at the grocery store, we're always kind of, it seems like, in our head looking out. But we're always inside looking out. So it doesn't matter wherever we are, we're always with ourself. You can't escape yourself. You're always there. So no matter if you're in a body or you're not in a physical body, you're still there. You're still consciousness, witnessing, creating. I hope that made sense. That's how I experience it sometimes. Like, oh, no matter where you are, who you're always inside of this, having some, seeing something, experiencing something, but we don't realize that we're the ones creating the experience. We look outside and say, oh, it's that thing that's creating my experience. I'm at the mercy of these forces outside of my control or power, and I just kind of have to deal with them. So wherever you are, there's some kind of communication. Everything is relationship, right? There's a communication between you and the earth. You have a relationship with you and the earth, with you and any other creation that exists in this 3D reality, this 3D dimension, other people. There's a relationship between you and them, and you're creating the relationship, right? Every relationship that you have with another person or another thing, it exists inside of you. Your relationship with your children, the key word there is yours. It's yours. It's happening inside of you. Your relationship with your partner is happening inside of you. They might be really resenting you right now and hating you for something and really judging you for something and pissed at you in resentment. But inside you, your experience in the real, you may not be having that experience with them. You may be in love and forgiveness, or you might be in like reaction mode and people pleasing mode and codependency mode and fear mode, but it's still happening inside of you. As a coach, I've worked with at least three or four people who they wanted to hire me as a coach to find a relationship, to create a relationship with a partner. And we look at kind of three elements when we start, right? You have to have a vision. You have to have some idea of what you want. And it may not be like, oh, I want this specific person that is this tall with this hair color. Like, that's where most of the bullcrap manifestation and goal setting and all. Give me the details. Oh, it's a 5'8" woman with red hair, and she weighs this much, and she's athletic, and she's smart and funny, and they kind of go surface. But that's one element you can have if that's what you really want. But really what I invite people to do is look at what's the quality of the experience that you want to have with the other person. What's the quality experience? Well, I want to have intimacy. I want to have connection. I want to have someone that I trust and that I can be myself with. You know, what are the qualities? And it doesn't matter what they look like. You know, it doesn't matter the form because the content is there. I do the same thing with people with work who want to kind of transition jobs or careers. Well, I don't specifically know the job I want. Well, tell me about the qualities of the experience that you want in a relationship with a job, with a work, with a partner. It doesn't matter. But the second thing, you know, it's like, what are the qualities you want in the other person? Okay. The second one is, what is the qualities that you want in the relationship? Well, I want a relationship where we have open communication. I want a relationship with, you know, that has, you know, humor in it. I want a relationship where both of us are contributing equally, like those kinds of things. So qualities of the other person, the qualities of the relationship, and this is the third key one most people don't think about. The qualities of who I want to be in the relationship. They always make it about the other person and the relationship, but they forget about themselves. Who do I want to be in relationship? And that is 100% determined by me. Not the other person, me. And when people get that, and then they start, then it's like, okay, great. This is the secret sauce, because as you start to show up as that person in your life, as that person in dating, you're being the person you want to be. And invariably, you're going to attract in a way, or call in, or only allow in people who are in resonance with that. And so I've had at least 3 or 4 people that have found their partner, their spouse, their, you know, through that, and they're still together through that process, because it's, they're taking dominion over who they want to be in the relationship instead of making about the other person or the relationship as kind of this entity. It's always within your dominion. You are a sovereign being. You create your experience. Start with yourself. Don't wait on the world or another person to try and fill some void or give you something you think you lack. So everything is relationship, Jeshua says. But it's all the relationship is happening inside of you. So again, look at a relationship that you don't like, that you're having a challenge with in your life, and see how you can shift your consciousness, your perspective, your behavior, your thinking inside of you, and show up that way regardless of how the other person or the thing is going to react to it, because that's not your business. So whether it's, Jeshua says, whether it's a beautiful building or a beautiful painting, all that you are ever experiencing is something that you have drawn to yourself through the medium of the body, meaning this kind of 3D space-time dimension. Like, we seem to be bodies going around, interacting with other bodies, other things, separate things. There's my chair there, computer screen there, the walls there. All these things are out there separate from me. So he's kind of meeting us where we're at. But you've drawn them to you through the medium of the physical. And it's an experience, and that's all. Again, he's keeping it light. It's nothing more than an experience, and every experience is temporary. And you create the experience. So if you don't like the experience, shift it. Create it. Create a new one. You are unlimited. You are the unlimited one who is in the driver's seat. You're not a victim of the world you see. So my invitation to everyone is, look at your life. See the things that you are not liking, and look at them and see how you are creating the experience. And I don't want to say necessarily get out of it right away. Like, oh, I don't like this. Let me get rid of it and get something else. The thing that you don't like has, for lack of a better term, medicine in it for you. There's wisdom in it for you. It's a teaching device. Why don't I, because you're creating the experience of not liking something. Why don't I like this? What's underneath this? What is this revealing to me about myself? All of these things, it's the whole thing is a mirror game. It's all a projection and you're the one creating it. So if you don't like what you've projected, you don't like what's in your life, the first thing is you got to own that you're responsible for it in your life, or at least your experience of it. So look with innocence, get curious about the stories that you're telling yourself about the things in your life that you don't like and how you're creating that experience for yourself. And then you get to bring forgiveness to yourself and compassion for yourself and then make a different choice. And again, this is not intellectual only, because Jeshua says feeling is the gateway to the kingdom. Don't deny your feelings. Don't reject your feelings. Emotion is energy in motion. So that's a part of it too, allowing the energy to move through you. And then you can make a different choice. But so often we try to keep things at the intellectual level. We don't want to feel because it seems safer. It seems much more risky and uncomfortable to feel things. So let me just keep it all at the intellectual level. But that never changes things at the embodiment level. Again, not the physical body, but your energetic alignment, your state of being cannot just be shifted necessarily with the intellect. It must be felt. It must be an experience. So, love you guys. Thanks for jumping on the journey with me. I kind of felt like I went all over the place today, but you know what? And I don't think any day is lost or bad. So I come here with love, and I trust that whatever comes out of me in this process is going to be of value to someone in some way, because I'm not trying to be the maker and the doer here. I'm not trying to sound smart. I'm here to be of service, and I'm here to just share what comes through in with the intention of bringing more light and love and understanding to this practice, to this human experience. So I don't know. I mean, I can't do anything. I know that for sure. So when I show up and be and have the intention of being a channel or a vessel, I just got to trust that what comes through and the way that it comes through is in serving someone somehow. So love you guys. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.